since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Over the weekend, we had a very big Major League Baseball trade go down. It's now official. Nolan Arenado, no longer a part of the Colorado Rockies. He's been shipped to the St. Louis Cardinals for some bubble gum, toothpicks, belly button lint. I mean, it was just a completely lopsided deal. And we knew the writing was on the wall. We knew that Arenado's time in Colorado was coming to a close. We just didn't know what Colorado would get in return. They got Austin Gomber. That is it. Literally. Plus, they had to throw out $50 million to St. Louis as well. Yes, a bizarre trade, to say the least. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Steve Bordstein, kind enough to join us to talk Major League Baseball. Steve, I know you, like myself, look at this and say, huh? I mean, you and I had discussed the possibilities of Arenado going out of Colorado and what it would take to land him in division if it was the Los Angeles Dodgers that landed him, which was a hot rumor. Never in my wildest imagination would I have ever have thought that not only would Colorado send Arenado out for Austin Gomber, Mateo Gil, and a couple of kids, but they also sent him with $51 million.
And they also send him with this weird, awkward press conference yesterday. And I got a chance to watch highlights, if you will, of both press conferences, the Cardinals press conference introducing Arenado, and then the Rockies press conference with Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich. And, oh my God, that's the most uncomfortable press conference I've watched in a long time. It's as uncomfortable a press conference. I will go back to when the Nationals traded or lost Bryce Harper. That's the one. It's that one, because this is just as uncomfortable. And my major concern with the Colorado Rockies is not the lack of accountability that Monfort places on Jeff Breidich. It's not even the lack of accountability on this particular move. Let's go back in time to some horrifying acquisitions that this team has made over the course of the last 4 years, okay?
Yeah, and Steve, Steve, before you dive into that, I think it's important to note that these are free agent signings that Colorado has made since Arenado made his first All-Star game back in 2015, right? I think it's important to throw that out there. I think it sheds a little light on the situation.
And at that time, this is a team that had aspirations. Their playoffs were in the mist. It was like, hey, we just need a piece here. We need a piece there. Okay, well, then go get those pieces. Here's the acquisitions that have been made. Gerardo Parra signs a 3-year deal for $27.5 million. He ended his tenure in Colorado with a minus war numbers and was terrible. Jason Mott came to the organization as a right-handed pitcher for 2 years, signed for $10 million. Then in 2016-17 offseason, they bring in Ian Desmond, who they signed to a 5-year deal for $70 million. They bring in Mike Dunn for a 3-year deal, right-handed pitcher, for $19 million. Now, if the Ian Desmond deal wasn't enough of a head-scratcher, he was god-awful. Colorado parted with Mike Dunn in 2019. He was terrible. In 2017-18, this was the kicker. They signed three pitchers. They signed Brian Shaw to a 3-year deal, $27 million. Jake McGee to a 3-year deal, $27 million. Wade Davis to a 3-year, $52 million deal. Folks, that is $106 million spent on those three. And the best thing I can say about Jake McGee is that a couple of years after that, he came in and pitched a couple of innings for the Dodgers in which he looked somewhat salvageable. That was in 2020, by the way. Then in 2018-2019, they signed Daniel Murphy to a 2-year, $24 million deal. These are terrible acquisitions. So why on earth would anyone think that this organization, based on their history of acquiring players, why would anyone think that this general manager, this organization, would be any good at trading away arguably the best player who's ever worn a Rockies uniform?
And you throw out all the dollar amounts, you throw out all the negative signings, right? Everyone that they have thrown money at and it didn't work. And Steve, I think the biggest thing missing from all that is in that mix, they let DJ LeMahieu walk.
Right.
So you're throwing.
All you can say is, you know, maybe we regret that. That was the one thing that Monford said that made any sense at all yesterday at the press conference. He said, quote, "In hindsight, I wish we could have figured out a way to keep DJ. We wish we could redo that." You could have. You could have by simply not having a moron in your general manager's office.
And I think for those who are not, and a lot of people are not familiar with Breidich, So let me give you a background, and this is my biggest problem with the Colorado Rockies. Breidich, he joined the Rockies back in 2004. Okay, at that time, he was hired to manage the team's minor league baseball operations. Then they promoted Breidich to the director of baseball operations. Then he served as a senior director of player development. And then, slowly but surely, the Dan O'Dowd situation just crumbled down to the ground, and that was just pitiful all the way around. Remember, Dan O'Dowd was going to introduce like a 16-man rotation, something ridiculous in that regard. So then what happens? Breidich works his way all the way up, and now he's the general manager. And it's just been one disaster after another. And Steve, I don't know that I can necessarily fault Breidich anymore, because he's obviously in a position where he cannot succeed. And it was the same situation with Dan O'Dowd. And if you continue to go down the line, the one correlating factor to all this is Monfort. I mean, and I think in baseball, look, we recognize all the shortcomings of Jerry Jones in the NFL. We recognize all the shortcomings of Dolan with the New York Knicks in the NBA. But when you look at this train wreck of a franchise in the Colorado Rockies, there's one correlating factor to it all, and that is Dick Monfort.
You see, and I think that's, and you bring up a great point with Jerry Jones. You bring up a great point with that, because it's too easy to blame the guys who are hired on instead of blaming the guy who does the hiring, right? We pin the blame on the general manager of the organization. We pin the blame on the person who puts his face out there. It's not necessarily Breidich's fault. It's all Breidich's fault to some extent, because he's the guy out there in front of everyone. But it's Dick Monfort. This has always been Dick Monfort. It has always been his issue, because he's far more concerned with what kind of fancy bar he can build outside or near the stadium or inside the stadium, and far less concerned with the talent that he's putting on the field. And unfortunately, and this is where I get into a little bit of a weird discourse, I guess, with fans of the team. If you don't like the product that is being served to you at a restaurant over and over and over again, whose fault is it? The restaurant's fault for serving you bad food, or you for continuing to frequent a restaurant that serves bad food? At the end of the day, it's on the fan. It's on the people who go to the games. Now, 2020, obviously, no fans, so that's irrelevant. But in 2019 and 2018, when all these deals were going on that we just extrapolated here a moment ago, you were still buying tickets. You were still going to games. You were still going to this. This is an organization that's the 12th highest payroll in all of baseball, and the results were god-awful. I mean, 2 years ago, they won a playoff game. That's it. That's the extent of it. For the 12th highest payroll in baseball, you got one playoff win. That's it. So I get the anger towards Breidich, and I understand the anger towards Breidich, but you could have hired a trained monkey to get Wade Davis. You could have hired a trained monkey to sign Jake McGee. You could have hired nobody to do that. It's on Monfort, and it's on the fan who continues to support a product that clearly is disinterested in how bad that product actually is.
Again, Steve Bornstein, our guest right now. And Steve, obviously the big winners in this trade, it is the St. Louis Cardinals. And look, I understand that COVID has delivered an effect across the board. Everybody in this country, everyone in this world right now has been affected by COVID in some sense. Okay, and I think this is my biggest problem with this trade overall. Let's forget the fact that they traded Arenado for basically side pieces. Let's forget about that for a moment. Last season, we had a 60-game year, right? And the biggest contract on the books for the Colorado Rockies was Nolan Arenado. When he signed that deal with the Rockies, I remember you and I having the conversation. Colorado may have won the offseason. Machado signs for $300 million. Harper gets $300-plus million. Boy, they get Nolan Arenado, and they get him at $260, I believe, is what the deal was, okay? And that's important to mention here as well. So, all the way across the board, you're seeing the revenue drop tremendously. Okay, this is one of those instances when you look at the Rockies, this is, I don't want to say it's a homegrown team or a mom and pop store, but it's fairly close considering the other level of owners that we have in Major League Baseball. So when the turnstiles are not spinning, you're not making money. And there were no fans in the stands last year. So I understand at some point you have to cut somewhere. And it would make sense to get rid of the biggest salary. The problem I have, you sent $51 million out the door. If this is a cost-cutting move, you save $160 million long-term, but you send $51 million out the door with the one guy that'll put butts in the seats.
And then you compound it by making an allusion during this very same press conference that you don't even really know that Trevor Story is going to stay.
He's not going to stay.
The one guy who could actually put a few delusional butts in seats next season, and you don't even know, you can't even guarantee that he's going to be there. I mean, come on. I mean, you've got to be kidding me with that. Their record since Jeff Breidich took over the organization is 418 wins and 453 losses. That's their record since he took over as general manager of this team. That's slightly better, thinking that how bizarre this is. That's slightly better than the Dan O'Dowd record of 464 winning percentage in those years that he was general manager, and Jeff Breidich a 480 winning percentage. And that's only because Dan O'Dowd was there forever. That's the only reason he's got a slightly lower winning percentage, is because he was there for 15 years. But it's unfathomable to me that we're gonna blame Breidich, you know, unabashedly, and we should, because he's the general manager. But the blame really belongs to the organizational structure at the very top that has allowed this to go on with seemingly no interest whatsoever in at least examining what it is you're doing and why you're so, and why this man, and why this organization is so inefficient at selecting, forget free agents, just selecting front office guys.
Yeah, and look, I feel truly bad for Colorado Rocky fans, and I know quite a few of them, unfortunately for them.
I don't feel bad for them at all.
I do, because what do you have to get excited about? I mean, honestly, what do you have to get excited about? You can look at franchises that are the low of the lows, right? If you are a Miami Marlins fan, you have some sort of hope with your ownership group. And the fact that Don Mattingly was manager of the year, Jesus Aguilar performed well above his expectations. I mean, you can grab something from the lowest of the low. If you're a Colorado Rocky fan right now, you are in a division with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are looking to go to four World Series in 5 years, the San Diego Padres, who are a legitimate threat to the Dodgers not getting to their fourth World Series in 5 years, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have mingled in success for the better part of their existence. Same concept with the San Francisco Giants. We're talking about a team that won three World Series championships during the Madden Bumgarner era. And now you're starting to see some of the young talent come to fruition in San Francisco. They were in the playoff chase last year. Steve, there's nothing positive to say about Colorado. The only thing we can say is Trevor Story may not be there.
Right. That's the only thing you have going for you is, hey, come out and buy season tickets and you can hang out, and maybe you can hang out depending on crowd sizes and things of that nature. Maybe you can come hang out and watch a team that is going to be, you know, twice a week or whatever, however long he's going to be there, how long he's going to be on the starting rotation. You can come out and watch a guy who's going to pitch for us who wasn't even guaranteed a starting spot in the Cardinals rotation in 21. That's what we got for this, and we're $51 million shy of having any sort of revenue whatsoever. I mean, I don't feel sorry for them. I don't feel sorry for them because they're still going to go out and buy tickets, because that's how gullible fans are. There's a level of gullibility, right, that fans have. There's a level of delusion that fans have when you're starting a season, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, whatever. I think it's even more so with baseball. Oh, it's a brand new year. Go get them next year. How do you even contemplate that thought in this for this organization? But if you're going to go out and buy tickets and you know you're getting a subpar product, that's on you at the end of the day.
Yeah, look, Rocky fans and the organization are still holding on to Rocktober, which took place, I mean, that was well over a decade ago, right, where they got hot. They didn't even win the division crown that year. They've never won a division crown in their entire existence. And so, yes, look, it's got to be hard. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful place to go to a game. And I do believe that the majority of people, and I shouldn't say this because I don't go to a ton of Rocky games. I manage to go to a few a year. You are just a diehard baseball fan in general, right? I mean, ultimately, that has to be the selling point. You can go to a beautiful stadium. It's reasonably priced. You can take a family of five or six. Really, when you look at the National League venues, you're hard-pressed to find a better one than Coors Field. It's that great. It's affordable. And you just want to watch baseball. I guess that's the selling point. I don't know.
It's a slightly better selling point than the old L.A. Clippers had when the old L.A. Clippers, I'm not describing the current L.A. Clippers, but when there were two venues to watch a pro basketball game in Los Angeles, there was the Fabulous Forum, which at that time, 80s, 90s, you couldn't get a seat in because, quite honestly, everyone wanted to see the Lakers because they were the best team in basketball. And then there was the Clippers, who played in downtown Los Angeles at an old, antiquated L.A. sports arena. They were a crappy basketball team that had very little talent on it. But, hey, the best part about it is you get to watch the Bulls play. You get to watch the Lakers play there. You can watch other teams play there because their teams are much better than the team that's currently hosted by the facility. That's the LA Clippers. That's what you're compared to now. You're compared to a team that in the early 90s, going back to the late 80s, the mid 80s, was a subpar basketball team in an area that 20 miles away had the best basketball team in the league by far. And you could go to their games because it was cheaper and you could get a seat there because no one wanted to see the Clippers play anybody.
Yeah, that's a fair comparison. I mean, it really is. And that's where we're at right now with Colorado Rocky baseball. Anyway, the St. Louis Cardinals have got to be happy.
St. Louis Cardinals have got to be thrilled. Are you kidding me? It's like a kidnap ransom for this guy. They got $50 million to get a guy out of a team that he desperately wanted out of. And now you've got one of the better top half lineups in all the National League right now.
Yeah, I know that the Cardinals were hot on Francisco Lindor, and we're comparing apples to oranges here, right? It's not necessarily the same thing. But Steve, I got to be honest with you. If you could tell me I could get Francisco Lindor, and you look at the trade package that it took to acquire him compared to what happened here in the Arenado deal, I'd take the Arenado deal 10 out of 10 times. I don't even have to think twice about it.
No, absolutely. You didn't have to give up anything. I mean, legitimately. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were saying or admitting that you're rebuilding, right? Hey, you're like the Giants. You're rebuilding your organization. But rebuilding your organization implies that you're getting prospects that are at least somewhat recognizable prospects. It would be one thing if you were saying, hey, we're going to go out and get these young, talented players who are going to add a lot to the organization in 2022, in 2023, in 2024. You didn't even do that. The guys you got, aside from the pitcher, the guys you got are low-rated prospects that weren't even really sought after by any major league organization to be that guy who's going to take over the league in 3 or 4 years. It's not like you did that. No, you went out and got low-end prospects. You got a pitcher who was platooning himself between the starting rotation and the bullpen because the Cardinals didn't know what to do with the guy. And now he's one of the anchors now, I guess, in that awesome Colorado Rockies rotation. You don't even have a legitimate 1-2-3 starting rotation that you can at least stand behind at this team going into 2021. It's a mess.
Again, Steve Bordstein, our guest right now. Steve, I know we have so many other baseball topics that we are going to have to dive into, including when the season is going to start. Right now, the players are saying, hey, we're going to start normal time 2021. It's going to be a normal season. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. Unfortunately, we have ran out of time on this segment, but it is always a pleasure to get you on. And, of course, we have to let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Radio Durango SB. You can follow me there. I do a lot of horse racing coverage for horseracingnation.com. So always excited about that and looking forward to the start of the baseball season. Looking forward to the Super Bowl this weekend.
Who are you picking in the Super Bowl?
Logically, I mean, Kansas City, but I'm rooting for Tom Brady. But the injury to Eric Fisher, that's a huge, huge loss, I think, for the Kansas City Chiefs. It would not shock me at all if Tampa Bay won. I'm going to pick Kansas City in a close one. I still think they have just a few more weapons. But I'm going to pick Kansas City, and I think what's going to be a thriller.
All right. Looking forward to it, Steve. I know we'll catch up again real soon. Thank you again for the time today.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break one last time. We do have more Drive Time Sports on the way when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.